Coming to you from the mountains and the plains, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Otto.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance. And now your hosts, Joe Otto and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire.
And this is Joe Otto.
And we're going to be talking today about the Democrats' court packing, going through a history of court packing, what other people have done, how the Democrats are even threatening another impeachment in an attempt to derail the upcoming SCOTUS confirmation.
Max, your hair looks good. I just wanted to know your hair looks good.
All right, well, you should probably button your second top button. As long as we're talking about each other's appearance.
Well, you had to disappear for a minute because you had a hair issue.
So. I had a quivering bang that wouldn't stay up. So everyone listening on audio has no idea what we're talking about. But I guess that's a good segue into what we're going to talk about before we get into the court packing. And again, I'm going to tell everyone, hit that share button, like the video, comment on Facebook. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you give us a thumbs up to like the video, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications. I want to start out because we received a notice today that was actually pretty cool. We are now officially the 125th most popular political podcast on Apple Podcasts. Woo! Oh, wow. Confetti. And we don't want to bury the lead. We are number 66 in New Zealand. That, to me, is incredible. I didn't realize that we have a New Zealand fan base. So I feel that we love it. I think that's awesome. We're actually kind of tied with Rudy Giuliani in New Zealand. So I wanted to start off the podcast just by giving a bit of thanks to our apparently growing New Zealand audience and just all have a moment to respect their national anthem. This is the national anthem of New Zealand.
I don't know how I feel about this.
It's okay. Should I be kneeling? They listen to the podcast.
I should be kneeling.
Don't kneel.
All right. No kneel.
Don't kneel.
New Zealand has some of the best football players out there, by the way. Rugby players.
This does go for a minute. We're just going to have to let this play out for a little bit. Oh, no. Mr. Producer, the video pause. There we go. Well, that is our thank you to our apparently large New Zealand following, which we did not know existed. But anyone just coming in now, we just learned that we're the number 66 most popular podcast in New Zealand. So we wanted to make sure that we gave them a little bit of kudos as we go into the podcast. And for everyone else, we're 125 right now on Apple Podcasts in the United States. That's where most of our listeners actually come from. We're available on we're putting up the confetti again. We're actually on a bunch of different places. So if you don't have an iPhone, that's fine. But the best ranking we have right now is on Apple Podcasts. So we've been asking you to do this the last couple of days. I think we can break 100 because technically we peaked. Our best day was at 101. We were there for a hot second. Then we hit 109. And now we've kind of been sitting around 125. So I think we can peak and get
Part of that is just we just got the weaponization, right? So they weaponized everything. I mean, the Facebook literally suppresses the message. And it's sad that I have to get out here and talk about this, that I'm actually telling people right now that, hey, listen, you are not allowed to hear from us because Facebook, Father Facebook, says that you need a daddy. And because you need a daddy, they don't want you to listen to us. So it's sad. I mean, Max, it's terrible, actually. It's really terrible. It's embarrassing.
It is. Sure. And I'm leaving in the comment section on YouTube and on Facebook a link for you to go ahead and subscribe and leave a review for our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Help us get above. If you don't have an iPhone, like Melinda just said in the comments, that's okay. We are available on other platforms. But if you have an iPhone or use a Mac, it's very easy. Just go to that link, leave us a review, and subscribe. Really appreciate it. Okay, so we're getting into today. Today, the main topic is not about praising New Zealand. We're talking about the confirmation fight that's coming down the pike. I don't know if you saw this, Joe, but our pressure campaigns are working. Yeah. Not only has the GOP secured the votes, but now Lisa Murkowski, who had previously said she didn't want to fill a seat, is now coming out and realizing that she's going to lose-lose if she doesn't vote for the nominee. And she's now flipped and said that she cannot promise that she won't vote. She actually gave it like a double negative. Yeah. She's not all the way back, but very telling that one of the two GOPers that actually promised to vote against the nominee is now coming back into the fold.
Yeah, and Susan Collins is actually saying that she's thinking and considering actually voting as well. So just,
yeah.
Interesting. Those were the two that came out together that said that they would not support a vote. And what's interesting about this entire, you know, you have to wait till a new president is elected, is that the presidency is not 3 years long. The presidency is 4 years long. And while you're in your presidency, there is no lame duck session where you actually just don't do anything in order to push the country forward. You continue, right? And the Democrats are really good at this. I actually think that we're headed towards a season where the Democrats are going to lose everything just because they've become so radical in their ideas. But in the meantime, we've got to make sure that we do things to secure the future of our country. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi said that, you know, they're trying to pack the Supreme Court, or excuse me, get this done in the Supreme Court so that they could because of the ACA, there's a hearing.
They have lots of reasons. 10.
But that's the one that Pelosi's putting out there, is that that it was the reason was because the ACA, arguments for the ACA start to repeal the Obamacare is on November 10th.
So there's a couple layers to this. So there's many reasons to want to confirm a ninth justice to the Supreme Court before the election day. Because, yes, the Supreme Court begins its term in October, which without that ninth justice, you run the risk of John Roberts flipping, joining the leftists on the bench and having a 4-4 deadlock that makes it impossible to actually issue a definitive nationwide ruling. The other issue is that we have an election in which Joe Biden's campaign has already hired 600 lawyers to contest results around the country. You need the full complement of 9 justices to hear those election cases. And as you predicted, Joe, yesterday, Republicans in Pennsylvania appealed their Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruling. So that's going before the Supreme Court. So you need that 9th justice. Otherwise, if it's deadlocked, whatever case got brought before it just stays the way that lower court ruled. So that's why Democrats want to stop the nominee from being filled before the election. But the court packing, if it was to happen, would have to happen afterwards, because there's no way Republicans would do it. What Democrats would need to do two things. They would need to win the Senate, the presidency, and the House. And then they would need to abolish the filibuster in the Senate to allow for a 51-vote majority to pass anything. Those two things would need to happen. But once that happens, they technically can do whatever they want with the Supreme Court. There is nothing in the Constitution that dictates how many justices have to be on the Supreme Court. The only thing that the Constitution says is there has to be at least one, and that's because the Chief Justice is named by name.
Right.
Everything else, the number, it's fluctuated, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, do a little history lesson. It's changed over the years.
So why not just add three? Why doesn't he just add three right now to the Supreme Court?
Well, because that would require abolishing the filibuster, which Republicans don't want to do. They don't want to abolish the filibuster for legislation unless they absolutely have to. I mean, it would make no sense to do it now, because the time to do it would have been when Trump was first inaugurated, because you had a Republican House and Senate. Makes no sense to do it now. But you need to do that in order to pack the court, unless the Republicans somehow decide that we want to add 1, 2, 3 more leftists to the bench. But that's the fight. And Democrats are also threatening impeachment. Let's just get the impeachment stuff out of the way. Impeachment sounds stupid, right? You're impeaching a president a month before an election. But the way the rules work with impeachment is if the House sends articles of impeachment to the Senate is mandated to drop everything they're doing, and they're not allowed to consider any of their current business unless the impeachment articles are voted on, settled. So the minute that impeachment articles get to the Senate has to drop everything else they're doing. So Democrats are threatening, people are actually threatening within the Democrat Party to send bogus articles of impeachment to the Senate just to force the Senate to spend a day or two on it in the hopes that that day or two or three delay would derail the confirmation process. I wanted to talk about that because that is how radical the Democrats have truly become. That's how desperate they are to keep this seat open. They're actually talking about impeaching Donald Trump again. They're talking about doing it again. But today I want to talk about the court packing because it's interesting because the court's makeup has changed over the years. There have been instances where parties have added or removed judges for political reasons, but for a very long time, that number has sat at nine. And the idea, Joe, that the political party in power, once they get all of the different parts of government, both chambers of Congress and the president, the idea that a party can just add justices to the Supreme Court until they get a majority that they like, it's really childish.
It's not childish. It's gonna lead, like, I believe we're already in a civil war, right? Right now we're in a civil war. But it's not childish. It's designed to actually destroy the fiber. They've been planning this for years, right? Let me just tell you how crazy the Democrats are. Let me just tell you how evil has just creeped into, flat evil. Just call it what it is. They're just evil people, right? There's a vast majority of the Democrats that run and are in office that are just flat evil. They want to work against the interests of the country and destroy it. Did you hear what happened in Seattle?
Oh, a lot of things. Oh, yeah. So the city council voted to defund the police. The mayor vetoed it. And the city council came back and overrode the mayor's veto, essentially putting the defunding into place.
You're right. But what else happened?
We had Chaz. We had lots of things.
Seattle has hired a street czar who was a convicted pimp.
Yeah. He's a pimp.
He's a pimp.
He's going to work. They hired a pimp. Yeah. They're paying him and his associates $150,000, I believe,
yeah,
to teach them how to. He's the streets czar, I think what they said. He knows the streets. So they hired him to teach them how to have law and order
criminals
without a police force.
Criminals. We literally are letting criminals run our streets. You don't think we're in a civil war when we're electing criminals? That's what we're doing. We're electing criminals, and on top of that, we're letting Hollywood, people that act like they're someone they're not, tell us what the moral authority should be. While, by the way, they rape and molest kids, right? Because that's what Hollywood does. They groom kids through this process. They allow rapists to run through, billionaire rapists to run through their streets and hire or fund campaigns at will. And then they get out and act like they're the moral authority. This is what our country has come to. And we've sat here and we've actually been silent through that. A pimp is now telling us what the police force should look like. Just keep that in mind. I just want everybody to understand. Yeah. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I probably am. It has to be me. Is it you, Max? It must be you. If it's not them, it's me. Right?
No, it's obviously us. There's nothing crazy at all about hiring a pimp to reform the police. But let's talk about this Democrat hypocrisy. Joe Biden is having a hard time figuring out whether he wants to talk about court packing. Over the weekend, Joe Biden was asked point blank, would you support Democrat efforts to pack the court? That if the Republicans push through this nominee, which Trump is announcing on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern,
right,
if Republicans push this nominee through before the election, Biden was asked whether or not he would support packing the court with liberal justices to restore a leftist majority. And he refused to answer. Let's go ahead and watch cut one.
So I asked Biden a hypothetical question. If he's elected president and Democrats gain control of the Senate, would he consider adding more seats to the Supreme Court?
It's a legitimate question, but let me tell you why I'm not going to answer that question. Because it will shift all the focus. That's what he wants. He never wants to talk about the issue at hand. He always tries to change the subject.
You're sitting by yourself,
Joe
Biden.
Let's say I answer that question.
What?
Then the whole debate's going to be, well, Biden said or didn't say. Biden said he would or wouldn't.
So Biden refuses to give a comment and says that him commenting, he doesn't want to give legitimacy to the question. But the reason the question is being asked is because Democrats are proposing it.
Right.
Let's go ahead and put up image one. This is from Representative Joe Kennedy III. This is what he went out with on September 19th. If he holds a vote in 2020, we pack the court in 2021. It's that simple. Now, first of all, Joe Kennedy will not be in Congress in 2021. He will not be in Congress. He ran for Senate in Massachusetts. He lost, and he didn't elect to run for his House seat. So I don't know who he means when he says we. But this isn't Donald Trump creating this. This is straight from the far left, this idea of packing the court. And if they don't like the majority, adding more liberal justices until they get a majority. But Biden likes to claim that this is some kind of Trump conspiracy or something and refused to answer. The amazing thing, though, is that last year in 2019, Biden was able to give an answer. And he answered that he did not want to have the court packed. Let's go ahead and play cut two.
Specify the number of justices that serve on the Supreme Court. If Roe v. Wade is overturned on your watch and you can't pass legislation in Congress, would you seek to add justices to the Supreme Court to protect women's reproductive rights?
I would not get in a court packing. We had three justices. Next time around, we lose control. They had three justices. We began to lose any credibility for the court has at all. Beginning next year, if in fact one of the justices steps down, God forbid, in fact, I would make sure that we would do exactly what McConnell did last time out. We would not allow any hearing to be
held.
Thank
you, Mr. Vice President.
So that's him in 2019, a year ago, promising that if what just happened, Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing away, he would not allow the seat to be filled. Sorry, Joe, you're not in Congress. You don't have any power here. But it's very interesting that today he won't comment on it. Last year he would comment. And let's just make sure that we round this all out. Before I get your comment on it, Joe Otto, not Joe Biden, want to differentiate. Before I get your comment on it, let's go ahead and play cut three, because this is Joe Biden back in 1983 saying that he was against court packing. Let's go ahead and play cut three.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct, but it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make, and it put in question for an entire decade the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The president had the right to do that. He was totally within his power, and his objective was seen clearly.
So just want to make sure that everyone knows, when Joe Biden says he doesn't want to answer the question, he has answered this question for decades. In 1983, he said he was against court packing. In 2019, he was against court packing. The reason he won't answer it now is he's either changed his mind and now supports it, or he doesn't want to piss off his base by coming out against their grand scheme.
But here's the problem. The other reason why he's not actually saying anything about this right now is that he doesn't have a teleprompter. He doesn't know if he's actually supposed to be talking about this right now. So I mean, I'd like to say that he's just not doing it because he's actually thinking clearly and says, I don't want to actually bring any attention to this. I'll let them talk about it. I want to stay far away from it. But he's a talking head. I mean, he has no ability to actually answer any questions or give anyone any idea of what they should or should not be doing or what he does or does not believe, because he's not the one that believes it. The teleprompter is, which, by the way, is the size of three big TVs now.
Yeah, they now have big screen TVs. I'll see if I can grab that for Mr. Producer to pull up. He now uses big screen TVs during his rallies. Let's go ahead and listen to what Chuck Schumer said over the weekend, because he held a press conference with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And they both were very clear that if Donald Trump goes through with this and confirms a replacement, they say that everything is on the table. Let's go ahead and play cut four.
Senator, if the president's pick is approved and Biden wins the election, should he add more Supreme Court justices?
Well, it will be a decision that comes to the Senate. We first have to win the majority before that can happen. But once we win the majority, God willing, everything is on the table.
Guy's a dirtbag. Sorry.
As I said, we first have to win the majority, because if we don't win the majority, these questions are all moot. But if we win the majority, everything is on the table.
Everything's on the table. That's court packing. That is impeachment. Well, if they win the majority, I guess Donald Trump could win the presidency and they could take the Senate. But everything on the table, including court packing. So no, Mr. Biden, it is not a conspiracy. This is what your own people are saying. They are the ones bringing this up, not us. They're the ones doing it. Let's go ahead and we'll play this. This is Nancy Pelosi. Let's play cut five, her saying the same thing.
There's a growing sense that the Senate is broken in some ways and that there's a kind of democratic deficit in America. And if Trump's able to appoint this justice after what they did with Merrick Garland, that Democrats have to be thinking in more procedurally radical ways, right? Adding new members to the court, getting rid of the filibuster. Are you thinking along those lines? Do you favor those two policies?
Well, I think that we have to think short term and long term. Plenty of time when we win the election, House, Senate, and the White House, which we would today, but the election isn't today. And we can have just a conversation if you want, but we want to have effective political action.
Hello.
So,
good morning. It's Sunday.
Well, yeah, that was a pretty funny one. We didn't play that one.
Good morning.
Maybe Mr. Producer,
it's Sunday.
You can find that one.
Hello?
Nancy
morning.
Pelosi.
It's Sunday.
Yeah, she had a
good morning.
What can only it's be described as a complete brain freeze. Mr. Producer, I'll send this to you right now over Facebook, Mr. Producer, and you can put it up on the screen. It was really funny. Nancy Pelosi had almost like she had a glitch in the Matrix, and she decided to just, in the middle of an interview, act like she had just started the interview. So, Mr. Producer, if you can pull that up. No, Joe, I think it's interesting that Schumer and Pelosi are both on board with this. It's not Donald Trump spreading this. It's the Democrat leadership saying court packing, saying adding justices to the Supreme Court, saying getting rid of the filibuster to do so. Everything is on the table. This isn't a Donald Trump creation. Joe Biden just wants to avoid having to actually comment on the news that his own party is making. He thinks he can limp to the finish line and only be able to comment about Trump. Well, no, he's surrounded by a bunch of idiots, a bunch of radicals. And when they say stupid and idiotic and radical things, he's going to be held to account because he is now the figurehead of that party. And we cannot allow him to just get away with saying, oh, well, I'm not going to talk about that because that's changing the subject. No, your own party changes the subject. Okay, Mr. Producer has the clip that Joe was imitating. Let's go ahead and watch Nancy Pelosi have a complete brain freeze.
The day that we lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
But to be clear, you're not taking any arrows out of your quiver. You're not ruling anything out.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
We have a responsibility. We take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution.
You can't make this stuff
of the United
up.
States.
Ah.
Good morning.
Good
Sunday morning.
morning.
We have a responsibility.
Look at his face. He's like, what just happened here? Good morning. Good morning. Good Sunday morning.
That was a great pickup, Joe, because she was asked about, are you going to leave any arrows out of the quiver? Is everything on the table? And instead of answering, she had like a mini stroke. Like we talk about the allegation that Trump has mini strokes or something. Nancy Pelosi, in the middle of an interview, just had a little twitch and said, good morning, Sunday morning.
Hey,
I was almost expecting her to break into a musical number.
So they, yeah, no kidding. Why can't it be this simple? Let me just ask you this question, Max. I'm asking you to be my camp counselor right now. Okay. Why can't it be this simple? Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
What have the Democrats done to any community that they run that has been good for the people within that community? What?
The bare minimum of buying votes. I mean, you look at what Michael Bloomberg did yesterday, paying off what 31,000-32,000 felons, paying off their fines in Florida so that they can vote. And they're unapologetically did this to allow them to vote, which is a crime. It's a crime in the state of Florida to give someone anything of monetary value to encourage them to vote. It doesn't have to be to vote for a candidate or another.
So why isn't he in jail? Why is it that we can do stuff right now? We can do stuff that puts us in jail and someone else can't.
Yeah. Well, no, if you went out and unapologetically.
Or they can. I'm sorry. They can, but we can't, right?
If you gave thousands of dollars to tens of thousands of people.
This wasn't thousands. This was millions of dollars, like $4 or $5 million. Well,
millions of dollars. But individually, probably, I don't think any individual got millions of dollars. It was adding it all up that accumulated to millions. If you did this, if you just went and tried to encourage one person to vote by giving them money, you'd be thrown in jail. And if a cop saw it, and if you went online and you bragged about it, you'd be arrested immediately. It's an open and shut case.
Yeah.
One of the people on his team said, we are doing this so that we can open the door for more people to vote. And we know that these people will most likely vote for Joe Biden. They've confessed to it. So when you ask, what have Democrats done? They've done the bare minimum to buy votes, whether it's Obama phones, right? Remember that, the Obama phone, welfare, all of these things. They keep these programs going in an attempt to buy votes. But we know that these welfare programs don't necessarily lift people out of poverty. They keep them there. There's a reason that under Donald Trump, the people on food stamps have dropped so low. I think it might have gone up with the pandemic, but going into the pandemic, you had millions of Americans coming off of food stamps who were on food stamps under Obama. So it's I don't think that you can really point to anything serious that Democrats have actually accomplished for people, but they do the bare minimum to encourage people to basically buy their votes.
But I'm asking you. Just sell me on something. I mean, by the way, can people call up right now? Do we have that? Can people call right now?
They can, but we can't go too far off topic.
I want a troll to call up and tell me what Democrats have done.
No, I don't want a troll.
Oh, come on, can't we please?
I don't want trolls. No.
If you want a troll to call up and tell us how stupid they are, please, in the comments, say please let a troll call up.
Right, I'm just going to keep forging ahead with here's a clip.
No, I want to be. Why can't we? So we concentrate on these issues and we never come back to just logic. Like, what have they logically done?
Well, but we have to get through all the stuff we're talking about today. We have a topic.
I don't like our topic right now.
Well, it's
very important. We know what they want to. I understand. They want to pack the Supreme Court. We know that they want to pack the Supreme Court.
Here's one that will ring close
a better
to home
topic.
For you. This is John Hickenlooper saying last year when he was running for president that he would support packing the Supreme Court to defend Roe versus Wade. Let's play cut 7.
Yeah.
I think it's valuable to recognize that there are things we can do all across the country that allow us to make real progress even as we're debating some of these very serious issues about a woman's inalienable right to control their own bodies. I have said that the one place where I might consider court packing, because I do think it's a pendulum that goes back and forth and each side adds two more justices. But if the basic civil rights of this country seem at risk, I think that might be the one thing that would persuade me to, and perhaps it would be on a temporary basis, but to court pack, to balance back in any objection or objective framework to bring back the appropriate balance in our judicial. So again, if I had ever imagined that we would see this level of assault on a woman's right to control their own body, I just wouldn't have believed it. So that would be the one.
We cut it there. So that's John Hickenlooper when he's running for president. And then we have one more that we have to play because I took the time to cut it up. This is Mazie Hirono. She's a senator, says that court packing is long overdue. Let's play cut 6.
What about after the election and going forward? Joe Biden was asked last night repeatedly if he wins the election, would he favor adding more justices to the Supreme Court? He would not answer that question. Where do you stand on that?
This is long overdue court reform as far as I'm concerned, and I've been thinking about court reform and what we can do regarding the Supreme Court to make it so much more objective. And so this is not something that a lot of us have not thought about. But on the other hand, that's after the election. We only have a serious discussion about any of these things if the Democrats take back the Senate. But
so long overdue.
Do you know where Senator Hirono was born?
No, I'm sure it was out of the country. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was when she represents Hawaii right now.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine probably out of the country.
Yeah.
By how you phrased the question.
Hi. I mean, again, I always talk about foreign interests, right? I always talk about the fact that we have people on the outside that have no that have no understanding or appreciation but, for the sacrifice in this country. No, she's from Japan.
That's true.
Now she lives in Hawaii.
True, but Joe Biden isn't from a foreign land. Nancy Pelosi isn't. There's plenty of American-born Democrat politicians talking about packing the court. So she talks about how it's court reform. It's a very interesting way that she's phrasing it, because over the years, the Supreme Court has not been set in stone. When the country was created, there were 6 Supreme Court justices, which was a horrible idea, because if you don't have an odd number, you can't actually have a majority necessarily.
Right.
So they had 6. It went up to 7, right? And then it creeped up a little higher. The way it used to be was that the way the judiciary was structured was that Supreme Court justices also sat on the circuit courts. So I have an image. We can go ahead and put up on the screen. Mr. Bruce, put up image 2. On the bottom right of the screen, you can see it's dated September 2019, but that's what the current makeup of the American appeals court system looks like. You have 11 total circuits all across the country. When we were founded, we had 3 circuits. We had the Eastern, Middle, and Southern Circuit Courts. We had 3. So we had 6 Supreme Court justices, and 2 of those justices sat on each of the courts, each of the circuit courts. And the idea was that not only were they on the Supreme Court, but they would actually hold lower court hearings on those circuit appeals courts.
Right.
So there was a practice called riding the circuit. It's not innuendo. Riding the circuit just means that Supreme Court justices would travel the country and actually sit on those lower court cases. So they weren't just over in the Supreme Court. They weren't just sitting in D.C. They were actually traveling around the country, meeting people in the country, hearing cases. The problem, and we can go ahead and put that up one more time, Mr. Producer. The problem is that every time we added more states to the country, going through the 1800s, we had to add more Supreme Court justices to preside over those different circuits. When we finally added California, they were like, wait a minute, wait, we don't even have cross-country railroad set up yet, right? We're not even ready for this. We can't just have Supreme Court justices spending half of their year traveling back and forth.
Right.
So eventually they got rid of riding the circuit. I think that now with the advent of modern transportation, I think it would be a very good thing to actually get Supreme Court justices out and amongst the people, actually into the states that they claim to be representing. An old rule also, Joe, I don't know if you knew this, was that as they were adding new states into the union, they wanted Supreme Court justices to be from those states. So when you added California and other Western states, they mandated that the new justice added to the bench was actually from the West Coast, which is interesting. We don't have that today because they don't ride the circuit. And again, that's not innuendo. That is just that's just the saying. In the Civil War, so after the Civil War, you had the first real political change to the Supreme Court. Republicans were very concerned that Andrew Johnson would expand the court and the court would look very favorably on anti-black, anti-African-American laws in the South. So Republicans shrunk the Supreme Court, right? They shrunk it down to stop him from being able to add extra judges. When the Republicans took back control, they added those seats back. Said, okay, we've gotten past Andrew Johnson. We don't have to worry about that happening. It's been set in stone, though, for a long time. We've been at this 9 justices since the late 1800s. And the idea that Democrats are just going to pack the court, shove as many leftists on, and as you heard Hickenlooper say just a minute ago, unapologetically, they want to do this to support certain policies. That even if the policies were deemed unconstitutional, they just want to pack the court full of judges until they get a majority that will say the opposite. So I wanted to go through that brief history just to explain to people that the court's makeup has changed over the years. Most of the time, it's been to account for westward expansion in the country. It was political after the Civil War to prevent Southern Democrats from being added to the bench. But since then, it's been static. And this idea that we're just going to throw out all the precedent that we've created since then and start politicizing the court, very, very dangerous. And the fact that Democrats are openly talking about this now, Joe Biden won't, but the fact that Democrats are openly talking about it shows just how terrified they are, just how terrified they are that everything they've built over the past couple decades could come crashing down with this new nomination.
Well, I think it's crashing down now. I mean, we had the same issue in 2016 before that election as well, right? Same type of kind of rhetoric that was created. Matter of fact, if you remember, they started talking about packing the court back in 2015, ahead of the election in 2016. Then they remained mute on that because they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win that election. So, I mean, they come up with creative ideas. I'll give it to them. They're very creative, very lazy, but very creative. And the left has found a way to come together and to create propaganda. I mean, you call it psyops, call it whatever you want, that they pushed into the you know, hearts and minds and homes of American families. And somewhere along the line, they're actually biting off on this. Now they're coming back to this pack the court type of scenario. And Max, what you just said is, you know, that the Senate has to stop. They have to actually, people need to understand that they have to stop what they're doing and address these articles of impeachment.
Yeah, if they impeach him. They haven't decided yet, but they're threatening it.
But I think that one of the reasons why we're even dealing with and giving credibility to Democrats, I mean, giving credibility to an AOC or a Chuck Schumer or even a Nancy Pelosi, who, good morning, Sunday morning. Yeah. Right, we're even giving credibility to them, is because we have remained silent. So, we just basically just think this is crazy because, frankly, Republicans just have more mental acuity, right? They're just more mature mentally, I think, right? Because Republicans are typically people that do a lot of research, don't take things at face value, don't take a snapshot in time and create that as their optics. They become more curious, and so. You know, the Democrats on the left, the far left, say, the Republicans are uneducated because they don't go get two PhDs and run up $300,000 in student loans and go on to do really nothing and never contribute to society or their community other than just tear it down. But on the Republican side, we need to be speaking up, and we have to talk about solutions to this problem. I mean, packing the Supreme Court is one thing that we have to talk about, and it's a real possibility that they want to do that. But the other side is that we have to become more vocal as a community, as people, become more vocal, become more bold, and actually call the left what they are: rapists, pedophiles, and closet racists. Right? And I don't mean closet racist from the standpoint of Max just coming out and saying, "Oh, I believe this person is," and using derogatory terms to him. I talk about on purpose. Looking like you're authentic, right? And this is what's happening. The literal wolf in sheep's clothing, which is what the Democrats represent, and saying, hey, I'm for you. I just want to save you. While they basically tear out the foundation of the community and make it very difficult for people to thrive and to have opportunity. So that's my moment.
The other bit of news today that broke is that the Senate has released the preliminary findings of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's activities in Ukraine. And we just talked about how Joe Biden refused to answer a question. We have a video just from right before we were going live with this of him being asked about him and his son's crimes in Ukraine. And shocker, he said he refused to answer the question. Let's go ahead and play that video, Mr. Producer.
Where's his mask? Are you playing it? What are you doing to me?
Is it loading?
Yeah, it's Twitter.
We got to get better internet.
What are you talking about? We got like 2 terabytes of internet here.
Well, obviously you don't.
Come out of your basement for a minute, just so we're clear.
So I'll go ahead and I'll email that since I have better internet. I'll download it.
So I have a better video that I'd like to play too. Can we play just a few clips from a video that I pulled?
As long as it doesn't have any copyrighted material.
American Voice. Yeah, it's American Voice, but we'll actually put it up if we could. Can I?
Okay.
But it is Joe Biden. It literally is over the last I think it's a couple years, right?
It's the whole show. Yeah.
We're not going to play all of it, but it's like 5 minutes long. We'll play a couple minutes of it.
It's really long.
I sent it to you, Max.
It's really long.
I sent it to you in Facebook.
If it's really long, if it's really long, we can play it tomorrow. I don't want
to. No, play it. I want to play part of it. It's funny. It actually just shows Joe Biden, right? I mean, it just shows Joe Biden's inability to have a coherent conversation anywhere about anything.
Sorry.
Crazy time.
No.
Probably best
I don't know. We can't play it. We got to take it down.
Why?
We can't play it because the music in the background. We will get taken off of Facebook if we play copyright music, even if we are using we can't play it.
I actually don't think it's copyrighted music. I think they just got it off of...
Oh, they probably paid for the rights for it.
Oh,
we can't
risk
it. I've seen it. It's funny. We've played a lot of the same clips, but I don't want to risk it because if we play that clip and we get taken down because...
So Max
music,
is paranoid
it'll be really
because
stupid.
We're being throttled by Facebook and you guys are not sharing. I show there's only 25 shares. So you guys need to start sharing right now. Share what we're talking about. But he's concerned that Facebook is going to do more of what they're doing. So,
all right, Mr.
Okay.
Brucey, you have
no
that
courage.
Video. I just
you don't have any courage. Oh, sorry.
Well, no, the last time you sang a song on the air, I had to spend an entire day fighting with like Warner Music.
It was good. It was a good song
because you hummed a tune.
And I'm not even that on tunes. That's pretty crazy. They picked that up, but they got their EBITs over in India or one of these places actually watching us and hitting the suppress button. It's pretty fun.
Hold on. Let me attach the video. I didn't attach it. Here we go.
Okay. Here we go.
Nope. All right. Well, I sent you the video. This is what happens. This is why we don't like try and go on our own tangents. This is why we stick to the topic, because when we try and start calling audibles, we run into technological difficulties. Okay, I emailed it to you, yeah. Mr. Producer. See if you can get the video.
Come on,
file.
Man.
Yeah. So we could talk a little bit about what's going on. As we said at the start, anyone just joining us, we just hit the number 125 on Apple Podcasts. For our audio downloads, we're number 66 in New Zealand. I almost said Australia. That would have been bad. In New Zealand. So there's a link in the description on both Facebook and YouTube. Please make sure that if you have an iPhone, make sure you go and you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and you leave a good review if you like the podcast. Lots of people are leaving bad reviews, leftists, trolls. It's okay.
I like
those reviews.
We can drown
them out by you leaving a good review.
I like those reviews. They're so nice.
Well, a lot of the bad reviews are that they don't like how Joe calls the Democrats out for being racist,
pedophiles,
and rapists. There's multiple negative reviews about how they don't like that, which means you're getting to them.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I just want somebody to prove me wrong. I just want people to prove me wrong that they're not rapists, child molesters.
Well, there's a non-zero. There's a non-zero number. All right, we're ready for the video. Let's go ahead and play it. This is Joe Biden refusing to answer a question about his son, his dealings in Ukraine.
How was your role as vice president in charge of policy in Ukraine and your son's job in Ukraine? How is that not a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict of interest. There's been no indication of any conflict of interest from Ukraine or anywhere else. Period. I'm not going to respond to that. Let's focus on the problem. Focus on this man, what he's doing that no president has ever done. No president.
No president has ever done.
He got a little fired up. Joe's getting angry, which anyone who's ever met. Everyone who's ever had a loved one or a friend go through dementia or Alzheimer's or other mental decline, they know that the minute you start rocking the boat and you start changing what they expect, like he expects this to be a cakewalk from the media, the minute you start changing his reality, people going through mental decline tend to snap. And that was a very angry Joe. That was angry Joe. That wasn't fake anger. That was real angry Joe.
I like angry Joe.
He refuses to talk about it.
I like it when you get under his skin just a little bit. Just kind of crawl under there. Just like I get under the skin of most of these trolls. Rapists, pedophiles, closet racists. Sorry.
So
it's bigger than zero. It's probably bigger than 100. Probably bigger than a million. Probably bigger than 10 million. How many people are actually registered Democrats?
There's not 10 million rapists just running around.
I didn't say that. I said they can pick. They can pick, right? They could be a rapist, a child molester. Right? Or a closet racist. They get to pick. They get to pick
their
category.
Most of them are closet racists.
Or if they're a Democrat, then they're just complicit in the behavior.
The talk about the country being systemically racist, and then you see the Democrat polls, and they all agree that the country is systemically racist. That just means they're all racist.
Yeah.
Right? They're confessing to it. Yeah. Like, yeah, I agree. It's systemically racist. Oh, you've held the power for how long?
Yeah. 40 years, 50 years, and it's only gotten worse, right? As they make change, they're changing for what? We always we say, oh, we want to embrace change. We want to embrace things that are good for our community. But man, I got to tell you, I don't know if the Democrats can, maybe they're just bad at math. Because the math that they do destroys our communities, erodes it, causes, you know, hey, let's get rid of guns. Oh, that was a great idea. Now everyone's shooting everybody. And the only people that can shoot people are the bad guys.
Barb just wrote in, wow, got him going. He gets agitated easily. One sign of Alzheimer's. My mom would do that once in a while. I mean, anyone who's gone through this with a loved one or a friend knows that when people are going through this and you change their reality and you rock the boat, it's very easy for them to start getting very angry, having a very hot temper. So it was very interesting. But you hear he's like, no, he's actually telling them, you're not allowed to talk about this. That's what he's saying. Let's play that video one more time and listen to the language he used instructing the media on what they can and cannot talk about. Let's go ahead and play that one more time.
How was your role as vice president in charge of policy in Ukraine and your son's job in Ukraine? How is that not a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict of interest. There's been no indication of any conflict of interest.
Well, there's been an indication.
Period. I'm not gonna respond to that. Let's focus on the problem. Focus on this man, what he's doing that no president has ever done. No president.
No president has ever fixed this country. You're right. No president has ever done what Trump's doing. He has ignored the status quo. He has ignored the swamp. He has ignored this deep state. And he's like, look, none of this makes any sense to me. Why are we doing this? He could have gone on his life, right? Not gotten involved in politics and not cared as much about the American people in this country as he has. But he did. He stepped in. He's like, I'm going to fix it. And he's done it. Okay, and now he's pissing off old Joe. Good old Joe.
So we do have a caller.
Good morning. It's Sunday. Morning.
We do have a caller who just called in. He says he wants to talk about, which is fine. We can talk about this. He wants to talk about felons being able to vote once they pay their fines, some sort of payment plan. We have Richard on the line. Richard, how's it going?
It's going well. I listen to you guys often. I'm your YouTuber that points out you guys don't ever pay attention there. But
we pay
anyways,
attention.
Get to my
Come
point.
On.
I know, Joe. Thank you. to get to my point, though, Max, real quick is, I was a felon years ago, all right, back at the beginning of 2000, 2001. I did my time, got out, wound up. My wife, later on, we got married. We decided to move to South Carolina because she wanted to pursue a career in military. Moved up there. I could vote up there. I had all my rights back because that was before Richard Scott. Well, then we separated. I moved back down here because it's where most of my family lives in Florida. Well, when I moved back and I went to apply to vote down here, when I reapplied for my license, they said, you can't anymore. I said, what do you mean I can't? And then I found out how to get rid of all my guns. So I sent them all to my dad's and signed everything over to him. Now I found out that, I was going to get my rights to vote after Amendment 4 passed. Well, I was cool with that. Then it flip-flopped back and forth in courts. Well, then I was already set back up on a payment plan because I have to pay for the accident that I was in because I started leaving the scene of an injury with accident. So I'm paying on that. So I questioned it. So I contacted the lawyer who I'm paying through, and they go, you're okay. I said, but I'm not paid off. They go, but you're paying. You're almost done paying. You paid up. You got $2,000 left out of $16,000. You're almost done paying. You're good. You're on a payment plan. You don't fall under that category. I said, well, how is that? I'm not done paying, though. They go, because you are paying, because you're under a payment plan, and because you haven't showed any delinquency.
So I want to address this. Okay. I want to address this.
Okay.
I want to be very clear to everyone listening. Okay. If you paid your time to society, right?
And I did. Yeah.
I don't think anyone should be able to take your right to vote. I personally think, this is a big issue for me, right? For a lot of reasons.
It is for me too.
Not because I'm a felon, not because I've done anything myself, but I grew up in D.C. I have family members that are felons. I have family members that went to jail. And frankly, they did their time. They got out. They became productive parts of society. And at that point, I think you should deserve to be able to vote, period. I don't even know why it's a question.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I work for the city. I work for housing down here now, and I haven't been in trouble since. I mean, a few minor infractions here or there, but nothing that was a major infraction a felon.
Right.
It just upsetting because I was living a productive life before I even moved back here to find out that Rick Scott took my stuff away, and then he moved. Now he's in the Senate, and I'm like, I thank God we have DeSantis. But the thing is sometimes they try to tie his hand because they are where they're at, and they were his fires, like with Chris Christie. It's you know, they deal with him a lot, and him falling underneath them, it's a pain in the ass. Same with Jane Castor. You figure her being an ex-cop for all those years, she wouldn't be like she is down here in Tampa. But I tell you what, I'm glad I live outside of city limits. Let's put it that way.
Well, so just to give everyone a bit of backstory, federally, there's no law that says you can't vote if you're a felon. It's based on state law. So different states have different rules, which is why you could vote in South Carolina, but you couldn't vote in Florida. What Florida did is they passed, I think it was a constitutional amendment, or it was they did it by referendum, saying to restore felons' voting rights, which I think it's absolutely fair. If,
100%.
If you have paid your debt to society, I don't think that you should have any of your rights violated. And yes, that includes giving someone back the right to keep and bear arms if they've paid the debt to society. What I do think, and this is where I disagree with Joe, is if you pay your time, but also I do think it's legitimate to also require people to pay their debts, because part of the debt is serving in a penitentiary. Some of that debt is being on parole, right? Some of that debt is fines or restitution. So I think the way they handled it in Florida was wrong. They should have let everyone know a long time ago that yes, it includes fines. Yes, it includes restitution. That should have been on the table from the very beginning. No one should have been caught flat-footed, not realizing that was the case. But we talk about this a little bit with Michael Bloomberg paying off all of the felons in Florida, not all of them, but 32,000 felons. You wouldn't let Michael Bloomberg serve jail time on behalf of someone. It seems
I'd be happy
bit
with
wrong
that.
But basically, if someone's convicted of a felony and they have to serve jail time, you don't let them crowdsource the jail time. I think it's also wrong to allow them to crowdsource the fine, because as hard as the fines may be, they are punitive and they're there for a reason, right? If we're not going to let 100 people all serve a week in jail on someone's behalf, we shouldn't let 100 people all donate $100 to help someone pay the fine.
So I'm
really hard with this. I think in Florida, they should have just let everyone know long in advance, but I don't think it's unreasonable to say that in order to get it restored, you have to pay your entire debt to society, including prison time, fines, restitution, and maybe even parole.
All right. So maybe I agree with that, Max, part, right? But then don't pay them 21 cents an hour while they're in prison, because when they get out, pay them a wage. If they're actually building something or doing something, don't make them pay them slave labor to do the work. Come on. You can't have it both ways. Right, you can't give somebody a punitive fines, have them get out of prison after serving their debt to society.
They can't find a job, and not only can
they not find a job, but they're getting paid 21 cents an hour to do what someone in the private sector outside of prison would get paid, you know, much more. And then their phone calls cost $60, and they take 25% of that and push it towards a fund. And people on the outside are literally funding this system. It's crazy. Sorry, I didn't mean
to. I think that's completely fair. What do you think of that, Richard?
I am in the same. I was kind of on the fence. Now, I have served my time. I have set up my restitution. I have gone the full length. But I was doing that because I felt, you know, I screwed up. I made my choice. My choice is bad. I left the scene and I shouldn't have. But at the same time, I was in fear for whatever reason, you know, because of my past and whatnot. Have you? Anyways, yes. I felt that they should have, when they set that in motion for Amendment 4, they should have laid it all out completely, instead of having to backtrack because they didn't have all the verbiage correctly edited and put in there, state forth what their plans were for the amendment, so that people could fully vote. Because now you have, like you both have said, now I didn't get paid 21 cents. I was lucky if I got 17 cents. And yes, it had to go towards what I needed in jail. I wasn't fortunate enough to have somebody outside, you know, because my parents brought me, hey, you made the mistake, you take care of it. You know, you serve, you do what you need to do to correct your foul up. So I'm kind of on the fence about it, because they had already put it out there, oh, they're awarding everybody their rights back to vote after they've served their time. All right, serving your time to me meant serving my time. Part of my time happens to be, well, I didn't have probation when I got out, but I had restitution.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't even find out I had restitution for 3 years till after I got out when I finally received a letter from a lawyer. But at that point in time, you know, I took forth the initiative just to go do what I had to do because I needed my license back.
That probably would have been done at sentencing. I don't know your specific case, but they probably would have at least mentioned it at sentencing. We're coming up towards the end of the show. I'm glad you called in. It's a great call. One more thing before we let you go. What do you think about Michael Bloomberg paying off 32,000 felons fines? Do you think that is fair or legal?
No, I don't. And I think what they're doing with that is very illegal because I've read the laws and I know what's going on. For that, I mean, it's like them binding all these BLMs out, and when they've actually caused accidents or caused injury and destruction of other people's property, and they're not finding them or charging them. They're actually just releasing them. The ADA down here is releasing them, and then now DeSantis is going into motion. That's not going to be put forth until after the vote on March 15th. Well, what about all that's going on right now? I've got a woman that I've been to down here. She works at Walgreens. Very upsetting woman, you know, and now she's being charged. And it was her right to drive on that road without being blocked or interfered. And they cut her off and tried to say she damaged the vehicle. And they were trying to bust her window and snatch her out of her car. I would have ran, too. I would have hit them. I would have ran them over. That's why I drive a big truck and carry a knife in my truck. Because I can't carry a gun at this point.
Yeah.
But I do carry a taser and I carry mace.
I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have stuck around.
But see, she got charged. They didn't get charged.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with the things. And if you go to Tampa Trump, Florida, on Facebook, you will read. We follow it all big time.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Richard. And we do watch the YouTube comments. We're not ignoring you there, but thank you so much for your call. I think, Joe, that is a fair thing that you said, that if they're going to require felons to pay their fines, then they should be allowed to actually make a living wage in prison so that they can pay the fine. Because when they get out of prison, they have to check the box in most states saying that they're a felon, and then they don't get the job. So it ends up being a hard debt to pay back. But I do truly believe that when these constitutional amendments or the laws say that you have to pay your debt to society, I truly believe that should be interpreted to mean both jail time, restitution, fines, and even parole, because anything involved with sentencing, I think should be included in that. But once you've completed your sentence, right, which yes, includes the fines, restitution, and parole, once you've completed your sentence, I believe that everyone should have their rights restored because you've truly paid your debt to society. Any final words, Joe, as we wrap this up?
No, I did appreciate that call, but you can see how there's just so many problems, right? And the Democrats couldn't control, they create so much chaos. And frankly, it's enough to give you no hope, but I do have a lot of hope because we have President Trump. But I think that there's a lot of places inside of our government that are broken. And so we'll get to fixing them one by one. You'll fix them right here with Max and Joe in the morning, afternoon.
Or whenever you watch it.
Or whenever you watch it.
Yeah. So this is our 161st episode.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sunday morning.
This is our 161st episode. So if you haven't watched previous episodes, they're all on YouTube or Facebook, the video, once we started doing video. But all of the audio going all the way back to the beginning, we do have all 161 episodes on the audio version of the podcast. So you can find that on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Podbean. So definitely check that out. I did leave a link in the description and in the comment sections for both YouTube and Facebook for you. Please to go to the Apple Podcast page, leave us a good review. And if you haven't already, subscribe. If you have an iPhone, very easy to do. It takes half a second. Please do that. It helps us rise in the rankings and get more people onto the audio version of the podcast. And again, make sure that you like and follow our Facebook page. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe and hit the bell for notifications on YouTube. And again, make sure also that you sign up for our email newsletter. Link in the description. Helps us keep the show going if we do end up at some point getting taken down by Facebook, I think. Oh, and last, Parler, of course, at Conservative Daily. Follow us on Parler. We'll be happy to follow you back. So that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Max McGuire.
And this is Joe Otto.
And remember that the fight to take back our country is not over, but the only way we win is if we all stand and fight together.